It is an interesting experience to be in a different congregation every week, and all of you have your unique practices, and you know them, of course, but I sometimes don't know what questions to even ask to find out what the unique things are that are happening in your congregation. Friends, it is a joy to be here with you today. This is the second visit that I've had with you here at St. Paul Reed City. I was here last week to meet with Pastor Dawn and members of the council so that we might have an exit interview and talk about the ways that Pastor Dawn and Robert impacted this congregation and community with their leadership, and also to talk about the challenges and the joys that lay ahead. And so we spent some time both with Pastor Dawn, and then we spent some time talking with the council following her departure from the meeting. And we talked about some of the things that were lifted up and about what I want to say is a very important and wise decision that your leadership has made. And that decision is to call or contract with an intentional interim pastor. So when a congregation enters a period of transition, as St. Paul is, sometimes those congregations take a rather brief time to fill out the ministry site profile and then move right into the call process. But when a pastor has served as long and as lovingly and as belovedly as Pastor Dawn has, there's a longer period of transition that is almost always the wisest way to go. And we have pastors in our denomination who are particularly trained to walk a congregation through that experience of transition. It's been 25 years since you last thought about who you are and what kind of pastoral leader you might need. And that's exactly what Pastor Matthew Deems is going to be joining you to do. He'll be coming in mid-August, and he'll be working with you first to get to know you, to understand how the ministry structure here works, to get to know leaders and committees and work groups and circles and all those kinds of things. And then together, you are going to begin to explore who you are as St. Paul Reed City in this day, in this place, what gifts you have, and what leadership gifts you need. And during that entire process, Pastor Deems will be your full-time pastor. So he will be here to preach and lead worship every week. He will be here to work with leadership. He will be here to offer pastoral care, to teach confirmation, to do the things that a pastor does with a congregation. So as opposed to other settings which might have a different pastor coming in week to week to provide worship leadership and a neighboring pastor who might assist with pastoral call in emergencies, your leadership has, and as I said, I'll say it again, I think wisely chosen to work with Pastor Deems, to bring him here and to provide that stable and continuous leadership that he has been especially trained to provide. He's worked with several congregations, including your neighbors to the south at Big Rapids, and he will be coming mid-August from Kent City, Mamerland in Kent City, and he's very excited to join you, and I know that you will give him a very warm welcome. As a synod staff, we hold you in prayer every single week as we gather on Wednesdays for work. We pray for all of our congregations in transition. And as the staff person who relates to this conference, the Grand Traverse Conference, I will be there as your primary person as you move toward that point when you begin thinking about filling out your ministry site profile and identifying the kinds of gifts and the kind of pastor that can best serve you. So I look forward to that ongoing work with you, getting to know you better, and to walking alongside you in this journey ahead. You've been blessed very richly by Pastor Pooley. I know that Pastor Deems will likewise be a blessing, and I know that even now God is at work preparing the next leader who is going to come and serve among you. And that will be our continuing prayer. So friends, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have been a pastor since 1985. And one of the things that never ceases to amaze me is the way that God's Word and the way that the church has through the ages ordained the readings each week, how often and how beautifully and how powerfully they dovetail with what is going on in the lives of congregations. And this week, as I'm here with you, is no different. I visited with your congregational council and Pastor Don at the end of June. And as I said, we sat and went through a process of exit interview and conversation about the strengths that are a part of the life here at St. Paul, and also the challenges that lie ahead for you. And one of the greatest strengths that was identified by your pastor and also by your leadership is the nature of a family that is here. And one of the things that was mentioned by Pastor Don particularly was that as she came, she found a group that was a tight-knit family. And as she leaves now, other council members chimed in and said, but now we're a family that isn't just for us, but we are for the sake of our community. And as I was reading the scriptures, I was thinking, that is exactly, you know, what we have the chance to explore with Jesus' experience in his hometown. And then one other thing that Pastor Don said was that one of your greatest challenges is going to be about evangelism, about learning to be able to tell the story of God and God's love and how that has impacted your life, and to invite people to share in the gift and grace of that love. And what is the second part of our reading about today in the gospel? Evangelism. Now, there's probably two or three sermons in here, so I'm not going to be able to unpack the whole thing. Today I want to talk about this idea of Jesus going back to his hometown. You know, by this point in the Gospel of Mark, Mark moves very quickly, and we have stories that are shorter in Mark, but they pack a lot of action, and they pack a lot of movement from one story to the next. And Jesus has thus far been preaching and teaching and healing, and in every community to which he has gone, the people have been amazed at what they have witnessed. They have been amazed and inspired by his teaching. They've listened to his teaching and said, there is an authority in him that we haven't heard in other rabbis. It's amazing. And they have watched him heal. They have watched him even raise a little girl from the dead. And they have been amazed at him. But then he goes to his hometown. Now, it was the right of any person who had been trained by the rabbi, any person in the community, any male individual, to go to the pulpit, you might say, of their local gathering place, their local synagogue, and to speak on what they sensed God giving them to say in the Word. And so it was very appropriate for Jesus to step to that lectern that day. But do you remember what the response was? What was it? Disbelief. But it wasn't disbelief in the good sense, was it? It was disbelief in the sense of, wait a minute, he's one of us. Aren't his brothers sitting here? Aren't his sisters sitting here? What kind of wisdom does this guy have? And you can hear kind of the incredulity in their words, can't you? And it's said by the gospel that Jesus could do no deed of power there except that he healed a few people. I find it interesting that in every setting to which Jesus had gone prior to this event, it was the people of the communities who were amazed. But when Jesus goes to his hometown, it's Jesus himself who's amazed. He's amazed at their unbelief. Because the truth is, one of the things that we humans tend to do is we like experts. An expert is anybody who comes from 30 miles away, right? You figure they know more than the local folks do. I guess that makes me an expert among you today. But not really. I'm just another sister in Christ. But we tend, as human beings, we tend in our families to look down on one another. We tend to treat company better than we treat our own kin. Anybody experience that and know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Anybody been on the receiving end of that? Yeah? Anybody been on the giving end of that? Maybe you're not going to admit that one, huh? But I think most of us have seen that happen, right? I mean, we treat strangers sometimes better than we treat the people who are closest to us. It's just one of those manifestations of sin and brokenness that we take the people around us and closest to us most for granted sometimes. And we feel the right to question them, to question what they think they're bringing to the table. It's kind of sad, isn't it? That the kinds of healing and teaching with authority and all the things that Jesus was able to do everywhere else, it was as if those negative feelings towards him, maybe that envy towards him, almost seemed to bind his power and keep him from doing what God had created and sent him to do. So what does this have to do with you here at St. Paul? Well, for the next several months, for however long your leadership and Pastor Deem sense that this is going to be going on, this transition, some of you as leaders are going to be taking on a far more significant role than you may have in the past. And Pastor Deems is going to be calling forth, you know, issuing invitations for service and calling forth people to take new responsibilities that maybe they haven't ever had or haven't taken in a long time. And one of the challenges of a transition period is that when people step up into roles they haven't played for a long time or maybe ever played, sometimes the rest of us around go, why is she getting to do that? Gee, I didn't think he would be the right person for that role at all. We start doing the same kind of things that Jesus' own neighbors did to him. I'm not sure we even realize it till the words are out of our mouths. Ooh, was that my outside voice? Yeah? So I want to challenge you. I think the gospel today is actually what's doing the challenging. To recognize that in this period of transition, you as a family of faith have a very keen responsibility to support your leaders. Support those who have already been identified and raised up. And support those whom God is going to raise up, whom the Holy Spirit is going to identify and are going to be invited to take on responsibilities. I want to urge you to pray for your leaders. To pray for Lori and all the rest who are providing leadership here in this congregation. And I encourage you to find the good in what they are doing and to affirm them for it. And to ask the question yourself, how can I participate too? A period of transition can be very hard on a congregation. It can take a family of faith, and it can cause tensions in it. But a period of transition, when God's people are focused on what God is doing and focused on encouraging one another and loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, it can be one of the most powerful, enriching, strengthening, nurturing, fruit-producing times that a congregation ever endures. And a big part of the difference between one that is dealing with tension and one that's producing fruit is the attitude that all of you bring. As I listen to Pastor Pooley and the leadership of the congregation kind of talk about what's happened here the last 25 years, I heard about a family of faith who was primarily focused on one another to a family of faith who became a family on a mission. A family who recognized that it existed for the sake of more and more people coming to experience the love of God. And I don't necessarily mean coming in the doors, although I think that's happened. What I'm trying to say is that they have had the opportunity to meet in your love and your care and your service and your commitment the kingdom of God in all of its wonder. And that needs to continue. It needs to continue for the sake of your friends and neighbors. It needs to continue for the sake of Reed City, because you are a blessing to this city. You are a blessing to this community and beyond. And that needs to continue. Another thing I want to challenge you to think about is that this is a time to continue to care for each other. And not just the leaders, but also the people who are on your periphery. I hear that there were a lot of people here 2 weeks ago. Yes? Over 200? Amazing. A beautiful thing. You know, the window of opportunity still exists for you to reach out to the people who came that Sunday after not coming maybe for a very long time. For you to reach out to them with a phone call or a letter and to say, it was a joy. It was a joy to worship with you on June 24th. It was a joy to see how God enriched our community, our worship, our life together by your presence. And we hope that you are going to be back very soon. It's also going to be really important for you to pay attention to the way the patterns in your congregation's life and attendance in worship and activities may change, because that happens in a transition too. And there are different ways to do that, and I can certainly give you some help and some insight on that. But you know, if someone who comes generally about 3 Sundays a month all of a sudden hasn't been here for the last 3 months, someone needs to notice. And someone needs to reach out. And I'll tell you a little secret. When it's one of their own brothers and sisters in Christ who reaches out, it means a whole lot more than the interim pastors reaching out. Because, you know, somewhere deep inside of us, a lot of times we're thinking, that pastor's paid to do that. But when my brother or sister in Christ makes it a point to reach out to me and say, I've missed you, that goes so much further. So this family of faith is going to continue to be a family on a mission, a family out doing that evangelical work of service and love in your community. But Pastor Deems, and even more than Pastor Deems, your congregation is going to need you to be on mission in caring for each other, in building up the body of Christ, in pushing against those attitudes that might say, well, I don't know why that person's up there. Or, gee, I don't know why that person isn't coming back. Well, we're called to love one another. We're called to build love in our communities of faith. And I think the gospel today is challenging you to think about how that can happen here. Now, as Jesus talks about evangelism, he tells the disciples to go out without all the normal kinds of preparation and backup gear that one might think necessary for their work. And what he's saying really is, be vulnerable. Be willing to be wrong. Be willing to lean on the love and the care that someone else gives you rather than coming with all that you need and all the answers in the world. Jesus can talk about that kind of vulnerability in relationships because the experience of that rejection in his hometown, that was only a taste of the rejection he would experience years later in Jerusalem, when it would seem as though the entire world had turned against him. When he was handed over into the hands of those who would demand his life, who would order that he be beaten and hung upon a tree and left to die in the city garbage heap. You want to talk about someone who knows vulnerability? Jesus knows it. And yet we know what God said to that act. We know what God said to Jesus' crucifixion and burial. God said, that is not going to be the final word about my son or about my human family. And after 3 days, God raised up Jesus.